Good afternoon. This is Pastor Free at the 10-10-10, reaching out to the members of EBC3 with my first podcast. I want to welcome you to the podcast and also welcome my partner in crime, the Reverend Torrence Spears, our Associate Pastor for Youth and Young Adult Ministry. Now, I want to let you know up front, we're going to be looking at some of the passages from our Lenten book and from the Psalms. The Lenten book is entitled, Were You There? By Dr. Luke A. Powery. And we'll look at Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, and Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16, and talk about some of these passages. One of the spirituals that, and I'll give you a chance to sort of get your books and get your Bibles in preparation for the readings. But one of the spirituals that is mentioned in the devotional is We Will March Through the Valley in Peace. And if I were to title this Bible study, I would call it Marching versus Walking, because the Lenten devotionals talk about marching, they talk about walking, talk about the struggles that we are facing, and I think you know those things are sort of relevant to us now. But before we jump into the lesson, let me toss it to Reverend Spears and let him extend greetings to you.
Greetings, Ebenezer, and friends, especially to our youth and young adults who may be kind of tuning in for this podcast in this kind of weird time of the coronavirus. And so we thank you for joining us. I think I'm excited. I don't know what Pastor Freeman is going to talk about. He's already called himself Pastor Free at the 10-10-10, which just is just the address. So 1010 East 10th Street.
At the 310.
Okay, yeah, And so, but I think that it should be an interesting discussion, and I'm excited about the discussion and this kind of study and reflection. But also the old versus young, and I'm the young person, and he the old person. I just want to make that kind of known. But anyway, thank you for inviting me to talk.
Like they say, many are denied the privilege, so it's a blessing to be old. Anyway, but let's start with these readings. I'm going to read Psalm 63 verses 1-8 first, and then I'll flip to Psalm 31 verses 9-16. And if you're ready, I'm going to read from the New International Version. So listen to the psalm. O God, you are my God. I seek you, and my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. So that psalm is really hopeful and positive, and speaks to the writer's trust and expectations about God. And listen to Psalm 31, verses 9-16. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. And I think that the contrast in these two psalms is striking, because on the one hand, you have the writer just, you know, giving complete trust and expressing complete confidence in God. And on the other hand, you have a writer who is expressing what he's dealing with, what he's going through, feeling attacked, feeling persecuted, feeling judged, even when he goes out in the streets, but still ending on a note of hope. And that's why I think that this spiritual from the Lenten book is powerful. We will march through the valley. Listen to part of it. We will march through the valley in peace. We will march through the valley in peace. If Jesus himself be our leader, we will march through the valley in peace. And in these selections for the past week, the devotionals sort of go from the question of, you know, is Jesus speaking to me, to the question of how long are we going to go through this and experience this, to the question of God being present in our situations and guiding us through difficult times, to the notion of movement. Where he talks about in Michael, row the boat ashore, that that in order to get your boat to the shore, there has to be, you know, some movement. There's movement in this Christian life. And while we're told to stay in place and to shelter in place, there's still ways in which we have to move from, even if not from the normal we experience prior to this coronavirus situation, to the normal that we're experiencing now, and also in anticipation to the normal that will exist when all of this is over. So that's sort of an overview of some of the thoughts that came to me from the selections, the biblical selections, and the devotionals. So what do you think about it, Spears?
Yeah. Let me first say that the disclaimer that we're still at work. So if our phones or something goes off, we do apologize for that, because we're trying to get everything launched and handle, you know, still the church business.
And so, we're at church in together, and we've been coming to church each day. But don't tell anybody other than the members that we're at church, because we're not supposed to be.
Yeah, and Deacon Husbeth still got people working.
Yeah,
so. Here at the church, so we're in contact with a whole bunch of people.
Yes,
I'm just kidding. So I think that the first thing that is important to point out is the relevance of Scripture,
yeah,
and the spiritual that is past our lifetime, or before our lifetime rather. And this text that is before our lifetime, but yet it still says that God is faithful, that he will hear the cries of his people, and that that no matter what, how old or how young you may be, there's going to be a valley.
Yeah.
And so God is going to be with you through the valley. God is going to walk with you, or Christ is going to walk with you. And that's still that's a powerful thing and a really big thing to remember.
Yeah, I think that what you said a moment ago is really insightful. It's so striking how in every generation people are facing difficulties. And so when we read what the writer says in the psalm, and read these spirituals, it's just so strange that they continue to be relevant. But I guess part of the reason is passages speak to the human situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No. I was agreeing with you. The human situation. So I think, why are you laughing? I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I think that I think for me, it's the perspective of where you are that determines how you label it.
What do you mean?
So you have the mountaintop experience, as Martin Luther King talks about, I've seen the mountaintop, or you can be the person that's in the valley.
Okay.
And what is so cool, or rather, it's kind of, it is sad, but we are all sharing in this struggle together.
Yeah.
In this scare, this time of the coronavirus. And so many of us are looking at this from the valley perspective, but there are two views. Right. And the other view, and I'm not pointing out these people, and I'm just trying to be a little controversial, I guess. But that is, not everybody has the same access to healthcare.
Right.
Not everybody has the same means and resources of medical supplies to their everyday access. And so because of that, I mean, there are some people that are looking at this from a different perspective. But in life, we also have, outside of this coronavirus, we have things that can be looked at from a different point of view. And
yeah.
So it's really important to note that in the valley means that you're not the person that's on the mountaintop, and that that you're the one that's kind of suffering through this unknown.
Yeah. The other part that about what you were saying that I think is important is, while the coronavirus doesn't discriminate, it doesn't matter whether you are wealthy, whether you are living from paycheck to paycheck, it doesn't discriminate. The impact of it is different, so that the people who are on salary may be able to get through this differently than people who are on minimum wage, and people who are working in jobs in the food industry and other industries that have been closed down. The impact of it might be different for them, because you know they don't have any access to money. They don't have any access to resources. So their valley is different than the valley of somebody else who knows that the check is going to come. Congress has been debating about this stimulus package right now. But who's going to get these checks, and will they come out in time to be able to help people, survive with their rent, with their food and all that stuff. So,
well, and then even pushing that notion a little further, from Psalm 63 and 6, it says, "When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night," let me put out something that was kind of said in our with me and my colleagues from the seminary, Truett Seminary at Baylor, that they said one of the things that was brought out that kind of sticks out to me when I think of this verse is those persons who are in their own, it's just kind of hard for me to say, but the persons that are sleeping or stuck in the house with an abuser.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Or with kids who are stuck in families with abusive parents.
Right.
And so how do you handle this thought? And it kind of goes back to this, some of us are on the mountaintop, we're at the church, but
yeah.
There are certain people that cannot leave the place that is holding them captive. And it's not just the virus that's holding them captive. It's the persons that they're living with.
And whereas the school might have been the only place of refuge for someone who's being abused, and so they can get away during the day, they're stuck at home, or even a job for, a spouse or a married person who is being abused can get away, and they're stuck at home. And so what it might be like for them is it's a struggle. It's difficult. And, on a lighter note, for husbands and wives who are having to work from home, and then all of a sudden the wives are coming up with honeydew lists, and they're seeing all the projects that you didn't complete and trying to get you to work on those projects. That's like being stuck.
Well, listen, I don't have that issue yet. I'm still living by myself, and I can see my person from online, so I'm blessed.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding. But it's this notion that the bed is a safe place.
Yeah.
Because it's this time in bed in the sense that this is your time when at night the only person that you're stuck with is yourself and God.
Yeah.
And whether it's time of prayer, whether it's a place of protection or shelter, it's still this time of peace.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's a really striking thing.
Yeah. Speaking of peace, in this spiritual, we will march through the valley. I like the fact that it says we will march through the valley in peace, because it speaks to the hope that the psalmist references when he says, "My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips." And verse 4, he says, "So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name." This the notion that even though you're going through the valley, first you're marching, you're not walking. So marching requires a different kind of energy and a different kind of focus. It requires more intentionality than just merely walking through the valley. So you're marching through the valley, and then you're marching with the right spirit. He says, you're marching through the valley in peace. But the spiritual says, if Jesus himself be our leader, we will march through the valley in peace. So that part of this notion of going through our valleys and getting through our difficulties, especially at this time, is the point that God is with us. The point that we don't do it by ourselves. We do it by the help and by the grace of God. And I want the members to know that this is a difficult time for all of us. It's something that we've not experienced before, and things just continue to unfold day by day. But we have to always remember that God is with us. God never abandons us. God gives us grace. God gives us peace. God gives us comfort to be able to walk through the valley. Powery also talks about movement. He talks about Michael, row your boat ashore. And in that selection, he talks about movement. I want to read a part of it.
Well, and let me add to the marching thing, and I'm not sure if I'm pushing back on Dr. Powery or if uh-huh. I'm adding to it, but for me, marching also is a subservient thing, because mm-hmm. you get your barking orders from a leader. Mm. And so there are two notions, I think. One is, and you can't, listen, you can't be making faces. Anyway,
you talk too much.
There is, I think, there is a real, it is a real thing when you are someone receiving orders.
Okay.
And so there are two perspectives of those orders.
Well, tell me
one,
about it.
One would be Christ.
Okay.
So we know as Christians that we're supposed to follow the directive and the mandate that Christ has set before us to remain steadfast, to treat each other as we would want to be treated in the midst of all of this. But then you also have orders from the government, from your local officials, who's telling you that you have to do certain things.
Yeah.
And you have to balance that.
Yeah.
And the reason why I point that out is because our president is going back and forth with his orders.
Yeah.
He's saying now that he wants to a few weeks ago, he was saying that, you know, it's going to be this certain point that we can turn around and get back to work. But that we need to stick it out.
Wow.
And now he's setting a date as far as Easter. And the issue is, it's clearing up north where they are. But, you know, what do we do when he says go back to normal? And this is just now hitting us.
Wow.
And the issue is only getting worse. Do we remain in quarantine or this shelter in place? Or do we try to keep on with life as normal? The orders can be kind of conflicting sometimes when it comes from man.
I love what you said. I think that, because I hadn't thought about that, that marching, if you're marching, then somebody is giving you direction.
Subservient is the word. I said subservient. My bad.
And so, but that says to me that if we're going to march through the valley in peace, that we have to heed the direction Jesus gives us. We have to listen to what Jesus says. But then you're talking about juxtaposing, on the one hand, orders that we're getting from Christ and from our faith, and orders in terms of what we're getting from the government. And I know of a church where the pastor said that they were going to continue to have worship. And even though the city and state officials have banned gatherings of more than 10 people in that area, the pastor said he's still going to have church. So do you listen to God? Do you listen to the pastor? Do you listen to the government? And so it's sort of, you know, where do you fall down? Are you abandoning your faith by not gathering for worship? Are you championing your faith by being careful and concerned about your sisters and brothers and persons in the public, and not exposing them unnecessarily to a virus or to illness? And so we have to listen, and we have to follow directives sometimes.
Yeah, but it's a real struggle too, right? Because, and it's not just small churches, and I think it's important to point that out, but large churches who have to deal with bills.
Yeah.
They have to deal with these loans and staff and paying those things, even though there's no income coming in.
Yeah.
And so am I listening to Jesus? Am I listening to the government? Or am I making real decisions? And how are your real decisions influenced? Are they influenced by the Holy Spirit? Or it's...
And when you think about what's happening now all over the country, governments, hospitals, entities are scrambling, trying to put in place the infrastructure that is needed to be able to respond to this crisis. And churches are having to do the same thing, because many churches were not equipped to do live streaming. We're not equipped to do a podcast and to do robocalls. And so you're having to scramble around trying to pull all that together so that you can stay in touch with your members, so that you can still have fellowship and have community. And the reality is, some churches don't have the resources.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have the resources to pay for these things. Not only the economic resources, but the know-how, mm-hmm. and the people who have the know-how. We're blessed because we have people like you and others in the church who understand technology, and we were almost in place anyway. We had sort of the apparatus waiting in the wings, but still we're trying to make sure we get it going and see how that's going to work out. And so it's a lot of things to try to contend with.
And so then, kind of going back, and this is just kind of playing with what I said before, is knowing where you are in your point of view in this situation.
Yeah.
Are you on the mountaintop or are you in the valley? And I think for us, we're a little bit higher up on the mountaintop as far as the Ebenezer congregation. And so it's important that we remain prayerful for those that are struggling, that we're remaining diligent about the things that are going on, and that we also ask, how can we be of assistance, not just to our own congregation, but in each other, but to other people that are going through it. Because, you know, like you said, the change may be that some churches don't reopen or some churches are really behind.
Right.
And what are we going to do about the community of faith at large?
Yeah.
And in our communities in general?
Well, we're coming up for Mission Sunday. This is Fifth Sunday. We will be doing presenting our mission emphasis. And so then in this situation we're in, what is mission? What does it mean to be a missionary, to serve Christ? When you're told to maintain social distance, when you're told to not gather in groups, how do you do that? Well, I think part of our mission is, you know, reaching out to our members, calling our seniors and others to see if they're okay. assisting with getting groceries and getting people to the pharmacy or to the doctor or something like that. But another part of it is not just, you know, as you were saying, not just being concerned about the members of Ebenezer, thinking about our neighbors, you know, on the block, and what they might need, and seniors on the block. There are some ways that people can volunteer by taking food to the food depository and helping to you know, help, you know, persons who are homeless to get, you know, some of the supplies that they need.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think that that we remember that this is affecting everyone.
Yeah.
And knowing where you are, knowing your place in life, your status in life is important. So that way you're not trying to hunker down and just care about yourself, and that churches are not just caring about themselves, but that we do everything to look after one another and not just expecting our government to do it and not waiting for the Congress and the Senate to pass out this money, excuse me, but then also how can we be a benefit to our local communities?
Right. There's another point that the devotionals make. It's about that question of how long. Mm. And I think that's what is what a lot of people are thinking about. When is it going to be over with? And of course, you know, the president is given some arbitrary date and hope, Easter Sunday, and saying that Americans getting back to work by then. And then Dr. Fauci has issued some caution about arbitrary dates that are not supported by, you know, the data. But I think all of us are wrestling with that, you know, how long is this going to last, you know, and the issue of waiting, of being patient, I think is an important thing. There's a positive thing that we can see in all of this. Sometimes we get so busy, not just doing the work of the church, but just doing church work, mm-hmm. busy work, mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, go to this meeting and planning these activities. This has forced us to slow down. Mm-hmm. This has forced us to take stock of our lives and you know, our faith and all that. And so I would encourage the members, as you think about, you know, when this will end, just leave that in God's hands and continue to trust God. Be patient, you know, do what you can to take care of yourselves, take care of your family, to take care of your neighbors and friends, and take this time to let God, you know, minister to your heart and to your spirit, and not get so caught up in how long. We don't know how long, but we do know that God is in control.
Right. And is not only that, but it reminds you, because like we're in the season of Lent, so we know how long Lent lasts. If you're fasting and all this type of stuff, you can control those sufferings, periods of refrain for whatever you're trying to do in this season of Lent. But then we don't control time. We don't this situation or any situations that revolve around the virus. We don't control our government officials, even though we've elected them. They act on their own merit and their own will. And so there are too many variables to be worried about. And I think that you're exactly right. I think that the answer is, even though Dr. King, when he preached this sermon on how long, and he says not long,
right?
We really don't know.
That's right.
And these situations come often. So it's not just now, but remembering that we don't know, you know, what the next storm is going to be and how long we're going to go through that one.
Yeah. Well, Spears, I've enjoyed talking to you, and members, we always have these kinds of interactions when we have our staff meetings. We have a devotional, and 1 week he does it, 1 week I do it, and we look at the scriptures and sort of pour into each other. I want to encourage you to do that among yourselves, in your mission circles. Call your sisters and go over your mission lessons and have prayers. And in all kinds of groups, youth and young adults get together each other via text, email, Skype, or whatever medium, and reach out to each other and pour into each other and share messages of hope and encouragement. Did you want to say closing thing before I close out?
Yeah, I think it's well, thank you again for allowing me to sit in for the podcast and discuss with you. I think for me, it is the embodiment of what we're doing, what we're trying to do with the congregation is trying to belong to this people that that watch over one another and communicate with one another as a part of our strategic plan, but our overall vision and where we're going to belong, to become, and then to be. Yeah. And so being this presence, once this podcast is off and we go back to our own homes and lives, and how are we going to respond to others that are in need?
Yes.
And so I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for our youth and our young adults, for our college students that have been affected by this. A lot of even two of the youth who are supposed to be graduating, I don't know if they're going to have a commencement ceremony and when that's going to be. So there's a lot of variables, but I'm praying for them. I'm praying for the parents and all of our members. So thank you again for allowing me.
Oh, my pleasure. And let me just say, members, when we gather on Sundays for worship, we are the gathered community of faith. And even though we are not gathering presently, we're still a community. We're still a fellowship. We're still the body of Christ. And we just have to think of this as a time of deployment. God has deployed us from gathering on Sundays to gathering in our homes, gathering in our neighborhoods, and gathering with family and friends. God has dispersed us and deployed us to be the presence of Christ wherever we are. And so I just want to encourage you to think about that and to do that. And I want to read from Psalm 46 and then close out with a prayer. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. It shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning comes. And it goes on to say, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you today for reminding us of how important it is to march through the valley in peace. Thank you for reminding us that we cannot do that without your presence, without following your directives, without trusting you. And thank you, Lord, that even though we face different valleys, we face different situations, you are a God in every valley. And you give grace, you give guidance, you give deliverance. And so we pray just for encouragement for the church everywhere, for the body of Christ, that you will strengthen our faith, that you will strengthen our resolve to continue to trust you and to be the presence of Christ wherever we are. We pray for our country. We pray for the leaders of our country, the national, state, and local levels, that you will give them wisdom and guidance, and that you will superintend the decisions that are made. But most of all, we know, dear God, that we're in your hands, and we look to you to bring us through. May your peace be with us until we meet again. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. An announcement, if you are listening to this podcast, today is March the 26th. We will have our worship or address from the pastor on the 29th. So please tune in on our YouTube live channel at Ebenezer Third Baptist Church and watch at 10 o'clock a.m. Hope to see you soon, and God bless you.